Let us turn to Mark chapter 4. I've entitled my message today, An Important Question. An Important Question. I'll give us a question in just a few minutes. Mark chapter 4. And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. An important question. As we study this parable today, I'm convinced that the most important thing for each one of us is to ask ourselves, what kind of an hearer am I? What kind of an hearer am I? I pray that you, along with myself, that all of us will ask the Lord to show us today what kind of a hearer we are. What kind of an hearer am I? Now, I have five divisions in the message. First, the Lord Jesus spoke to a great multitude. I want you to see that in verse 1. The scripture says, and it And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude. The multitude was so great that he had to leave the house in which he had been teaching and go there to the seaside. And the multitude was so great, he had to go into a ship so that he could sit and teach from the ship those on the seashore. Now, I mentioned this. The Lord Jesus spoke to a great multitude. I mentioned this not so much to emphasize the number, not so much to emphasize the number of the crowd to whom he was speaking, but the quantity or the quality of the multitude. Not the quantity, but the quality of the multitude. Recognize that not everyone he was speaking to was there to hear the Word of God. Some were there, no doubt, just to see his person. They had heard of him, and out of curiosity, they came to see this man named Jesus. Made quite a stir in Galilee and Judea at that time. Some came just out of curiosity to see him. Some came because they hoped to see a miracle. No doubt, they had heard that he had worked miracles healing various persons. Some came to see a miracle. Some came just because they wanted to witness a miracle. Some came to be healed, no doubt. They wanted to experience a miracle, a healing miracle, a physical healing miracle. And then there were those who came, no doubt, just to find fault. The religious rulers, they had come down from Jerusalem, we know that already, and questioned him before. And so some came just to find fault. So the multitude, he spoke to a great multitude, but the point I want to emphasize to all of us here this morning is not everyone was there in that multitude to hear the Word of God. Many were there for different reasons, various reasons. And in this multitude, there would be wayside hearers. There would be those that he described in this parable. They were wayside hearers. There would be others who would be stony ground hearers. There would be others in that multitude who would be described as thorny ground hearers. And yes, thank God, there were some in that multitude who were good ground hearers. So that's my first point. The Lord Jesus spoke to a great multitude, but let's remember the multitude was made up of various individuals who came for different reasons other than to hear the Word of God. The second division is the Lord Jesus spoke in parables. Notice that in verse 2, it says, and he taught them many things by parables. Now, Mark does not give us as many parables as Matthew does in the parallel passage. But Mark, along with Luke, they do give this parable, and it was the first of the parables that our Lord spoke, the parable of the sower. Matthew tells us that after he spoke the parable, that his disciples asked him the reason. Why speakest thou unto them in parables? You've got this great multitude here to hear you. Now, why are you speaking to them in parables? Now, Mark, he simply says, if you notice in verse 10, the 12 ask him the parable. But his answer is the same. If you look in Matthew, you look in Mark, you look in Luke, his answer is the same. Why speak ye unto them in parables? Well, his answer in verse 11, he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? Now Matthew inserts this in that answer there. The answer is the same in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But Matthew inserts this in the narrative there in Matthew. And that is that this answer, what our Lord told when he was asked, why do you speak to them in parables? Our Lord told them that this was a fulfillment of a prophecy in Isaiah. A fulfillment of a prophecy. It was prophesied unto the Lord that, or concerning the Lord, rather, when he came, that he would speak in parables so that seeing they would not see and hearing they would not hear. Now, I want you to look back with me to that prophecy in Isaiah chapter 6. Keep your places here in Mark chapter 4, but turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 6. And this is one of those chapters that we love to read, and it's such a blessing, but a problem, as I see it, is we just get so overwhelmed with the beginning of this chapter that most of the time we don't read through the chapter. We don't continue to see what is said here. We get so overwhelmed, I know I do, with the way the chapter begins. Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And don't we love, as preachers, to preach and speak about the holiness of our God? And so many times that's just about as far as we get in this chapter. Holy, 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 cried the seraphims one to another. And we know the God with whom we have to do is an awful God in the sense that he is a holy God, a terrible God. Now, I understand that that word terrible and awful has changed its meanings, but you find that word when the King James translation was made, and it just speaks of the awesomeness, the majesticness of the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Anytime God chooses to reveal himself to us through his word, or as he revealed himself to Isaiah here in a vision, the result is always the same. I am a man of unclean lips. And the lips are unclean because the heart is unclean. In other words, you cannot come into the presence of this holy God and not know that you are undone. You're undone if you were to stand before this holy Lord God apart from Jesus Christ. You're undone. And Isaiah, he experienced that. But let's read on. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. The Lord Jesus Christ is our altar, isn't he? It is through his work that our sin is purged, that our iniquity is put away. But let's read on. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Many a missionary sermon's been preached from that text. But let's read on. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? How long am I to continue preaching this message? How long? Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without men, and the land be utterly desolate. This prophecy was fulfilled through the ministry of Isaiah. He was called, and he was sent, and he preached to his generation. There were prophets that followed him, and this prophecy was fulfilled through those prophets preaching. And notice it is to this people. This people. Do you notice that there in verse 9? And he said, Go and tell this people. Now, what people is he talking about? He's talking about Isaiah's people. He's talking about the nation of Israel, the physical descendants of Abraham. Go and tell this people. This prophecy was fulfilled through the prophets. Now I want you to turn to John chapter 12. And I hope you will turn to these passages and see this for yourself as well as hear it. But this prophecy was fulfilled also through the ministry of Christ, when he was here in the flesh preaching the gospel to this people. Remember, he said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was a minister to the circumcision, the Jews. This people, notice here in John chapter 12, beginning, I believe, in verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Now listen to John's comment here, verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias, that is Isaiah the prophet, might be fulfilled when he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory. I saw the Lord high and lifted up when he saw his glory. These things said Isaiah. Now listen, follow with me. This prophecy was fulfilled through the ministry of Isaiah and subsequent prophets, Old Testament prophets, through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here in the flesh, And yes, through the apostles. Look with me in Acts chapter 28, the very end of the book of Acts. And let me set this up for us. Paul has agreed to meet with the leaders of the nation of Israel that lived there in Rome on this particular day. They came to his house where he was a prisoner in Acts chapter 28 and beginning with verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him and to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Now, please remember this. When we read that God hardens a person's heart, all God need do to harden a person's heart is just to leave that person alone. That's all. Just to leave that person alone. We sing that hymn sometimes, written by Fanny Crosby. The story behind that hymn goes that she was in a revival meeting years ago, and it seemed like other people in the audience and the congregation were being blessed, that God was visiting them, and her heart was hard. Her heart was cold. And she went home and wrote those words, Pass me not, O gentle Savior. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. That's all God need to do to anyone to harden their heart is just pass them by. What an awful, awful thing. For God to pass a person by. Jesus said, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. I tell you, it's a serious matter. I don't know if I can impress this upon us as much as I would like to, but it is a very serious matter to set under the preaching of the gospel the truth, Christ and Him crucified, which is the power of God unto salvation, and not bow, not believe, not submit to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's a serious matter. And no doubt there comes a time, at least in eternity, when this world is ended for you, for me, there will be no more hearing of the gospel. When we leave this world, if we are not righteous, we will be unrighteous throughout all eternity. We will be under the wrath of God, separated from all goodness. There's none good but one, that's God. There is no goodness apart from God. All goodness that is in this world, even by lost people, is a result of God's goodness. But in eternity, in hell, separated from God, from all goodness. And that not for just a day or two, but for all eternity. Here's the third division. The Lord Jesus, back here in Mark chapter 4, if you will, the Lord Jesus declared that gospel knowledge must be given. It must be given. In verse 11, here he told his disciples, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the gospel, mystery of the kingdom of God." A person must be born from above to see the kingdom of God. The new birth is the work of God. But let me explain something. Let me emphasize something, rather. The new birth is the work of God, and it is a work that He accomplishes using His written word. That's the reason Paul said, "For the gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation." That word power, the dynamite of God. How God comes as the word of God is preached and proclaimed, and the word comes with power to a person's heart. It must be given. Salvation doesn't come by decision, but it comes rather by revelation. Must be given. That's one of the offenses of the cross. It's not a matter of how smart you are, what your IQ is. It's not a matter of any of those things. It is to whom the Lord will show Himself merciful and reveal Himself in. But He uses His word. Of His own will, James chapter 1, of His own will begat He you with the word of truth. I want you to look in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Peter, writing to believers, said, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed." What was that sower in the parable? What was he sowing? He was sowing seed, right? When a farmer plants, he plants seed. And the seed is the word of God, the written word of God. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever." This word's never going to change. You know, people make light of the word of God, the written word of God. This word is never going to be changed. The scripture says it is settled forever in heaven. What God has said is true today, just as it was when He said it. And it's never going to be untrue. It's the incorruptible word. It cannot be corrupted. Not God's word. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth." And this word is alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. I can't explain it, but I've experienced it. And I know some of you have too. The preacher was preaching, and maybe it was like water off a duck's back to everyone else, but not to me. And I just pray that there's someone here today that God is speaking to, that this word is, this living word, this incorruptible word is like a double-edged sword, that it cuts both ways. "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth." This is your life, friend. Here it is. Young person, old person, this is your life. It's like grass. Grows up in the morning, cut down in the evening. That's how short your life is in this world. Even if you live to be old, an old age, it's like yesterday. It's like a shadow. It's like the fog in the morning that you see, and by mid-morning, it's gone. That's your life here. "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." Oh, but the word of the Lord Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now fourth, let's go back to our text. Fourth division, the Lord Jesus describes the four types of hearers. First, they're wayside hearers. They have the word fall upon them, but they have no interest, little or no interest whatsoever, and it's soon gone. And they don't understand. Not only would the word just leave because they're unconcerned hearers, but they have a great enemy called Satan, and he will do everything immediately to snatch the word out of your heart, to take that word, that incorruptible word, out of your heart, a wayside hearer. And then there's a stony ground here. These are casual hearers by the wayside, because our Lord does say they receive the seed. They at least give some mental assent to the truth, to the gospel. They have some historical understanding of the gospel, but their heart is still like stone. Stony ground hearers. Word must come in power. It must come in power. These are stony ground hearers. The stone, the heart is unbroken. Oh, yeah, I've done a few things wrong. Oh, yeah, I've made mistakes. Everybody make. No. We're talking about sinning against God Almighty. That's a terrible thing. That's an awful thing to offend God. How are you going to be reconciled unto Him? This is not your mama. This is not your daddy that you can deceive, that you can play on their sympathies and heartstrings. No, this is God Almighty, who is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. Stony ground here. His heart, yeah, he believes some things. He recognized some things, but his heart is still heart of stone. No feeling of conviction. No feeling of sinfulness, just, oh yeah, we all made a few mistakes in life. You've met people like that, haven't you? You may be here like that. You just excuse yourself. Well, we all do it. Everybody does. That's true. That doesn't take away the sin. That doesn't reconcile you to God. Then there's this third group of hearers, these thorny ground hearers, and no one would deliberately plant seed where there's sure to grow up thorns, because thorns will grow up and the thorns will choke the word of God. And in this case, it is riches and the lust of the flesh and things like that. And before long, the thorny ground hearer, he's gone. But aren't you glad there's some good ground hearers? Now, good ground doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. You know that farmer, he doesn't just go out there when it's time to plant and just start sowing seed. Oh, no. That property, that land has to be prepared, has to be plowed, has to be disked, whatever they do. And God the Holy Spirit works in the heart of his people. Gives a new heart. In fact, Jeremiah said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But in the new birth, according to the new covenant of grace, God takes out that heart of stone and gives a heart of flesh. And the wonderful thing about the heart of flesh is it's pliable. And God writes his law on it. He writes his gospel on it. and you believe. You believe in Christ. Three things said about these good ground hearers. First of all, they hear the word of God. Second, they receive the word of God. And third, they all bring forth fruit. What is the fruit? That's important, isn't it? What is the fruit of these good ground hearers? Well, it is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit that our flesh can produce, our old man. It's the fruit of the new man by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering. We live in a world, don't we? Believer, child of God, don't you long for a time when to be with the Lord, when there's nothing but love, a city of love? You know, you cannot watch the news and see two professionals, both experts in whatever field, and they can't agree. They can't agree. Won't it be great? Won't it be wonderful to be with the Lord when there's nothing but agreement? No disagreement ever again. And our agreement will be praise unto the Lamb that was slain and by His blood has redeemed us. Oh, love, joy. This is a fruit of the Spirit. Peace. We long for peace, don't we? Some people are just contentious. They just love contention. They're always trying to stir up strife and argument and things of that. Peace, the fruit of the Spirit. Peace. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, temperance. The Lord Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. The last point, but before I mention the last point, let me ask that question again to myself, and I pray you ask it of yourself. What kind of a hearer am I? What kind of a hearer am I? When you walk out the door in just a little while, I hope we will all be able to say, by the grace of God, I'm a good ground hearer. And if I'm not, I want to be. God, have mercy on me. The last point, just in closing, I want you to look at these words. The Lord Jesus revealed this important truth about the gospel in closing. He compared the gospel to light, and He declares His will in explaining the parables to these disciples was, He said, you don't bring a light. You don't bring a candle. This is back when candles were the main source of light. They didn't flip a switch, did they? But you don't light a candle and stick it under the bed. You don't light a candle and put a bushel on top of it. No, no. You light a candle to give light so that everyone in the room shall have light. And our Lord is speaking to these apostles, these 12 disciples, who later He said, you are the light of the world. This gospel is to shine and has shined and continues to shine around the world where God sends the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were to shine as lights in the world, preaching with much more clarity the gospel in this dispensation that you and I live in. Much more clarity than the gospel that was revealed in those shadows and types through the law in the Old Testament. Much more clear. And it's so clear, isn't it? God's Son came into this world as a man. And He took our sins on Himself. Died on the cross to satisfy God's justice. And he rose again the third day, showing that his work was accepted. He had satisfied God. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. What kind of a hearer am I? Now, we're going to sing a hymn before we are dismissed. I want to say this before we sing also. Thank the Lord. This evening, two of our young people, Latir Banks and Mario Lopez, they wish to confess the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. So that's what we will do this evening after the service. And you may be here this morning, and you believe. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And yet you've never confessed that in baptism. Tonight would be a good night. It would. It'd be a good night to do it. Water's already in the pool. I'm going to turn the heater on in just a few minutes. Why don't you speak to me after this service? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to sing number 500, when the roll is called up yonder, number 500. And let's stand and sing.